This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. Inviting you to study with us just a little further, as we have been studying for the past several days, on the fact that Christian commitment is spelled M-U-S-T. Now that simply means must, and it involves necessity, some things that you absolutely must do if you are to be pleasing to God. You remember the words of Jesus recorded in Luke chapter 2, verse 49, where he asked a question, "Know you not that I must be about my Father's business?" Jesus recognized that living in accordance with the will of the Father involves necessity. You must do thus and so. Already we've studied the fact that to live the true Christian life, you must sacrifice. You must live a life of suffering if called upon to do so. You must live a life of publishing abroad the kingdom, that is, of preaching the true gospel. And you must live a life of love. In connection with the fact that we must live a life of love, we have already pointed out that you must love God, you must love your neighbor, you must love your family. And now there remains for us to note that not only must we love our fellow man in general, but in particular we must love our enemies. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 20 and 21, "If thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head." The Bible teaches there is no one that we should hate. There is no one that we should not love. We must love even those who have despitefully used us, those who slandered us, those who perhaps who have beaten us out of our world goods, those who have destroyed our reputation, those perhaps even who have tried to kill us. We still must love them. We may hate what they do, but we must love those who have done it. And as I indicated last time, all of us have had a great deal of practice in loving the sinner while we hate the sin, because we all do that with ourselves. And so true Christian commitment involves the necessity of sacrifice, of suffering, of publishing abroad the kingdom, and of loving. Now in the fifth place, we note that true Christian commitment involves worship, the worship of God. Not some idol, not some false god, but the one true living God. Jesus taught, as recorded in John chapter 4, in verse 24, "They that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth." You see, you must worship God, you must worship him with the right attitude, and you must worship him in the right way. You know, there's so many people, no doubt in all sincerity and honesty, who think that just so long as you're sincere, just so long as you're religious, and so long as you're involved in worship, then God will be pleased. But the Bible does not teach such. It not only teaches that you must worship the right God, it teaches that you must worship him in the right attitude, and you must worship him in the right way, doing only what is authorized. In 2 John verse 9 beginning, the Bible says, "Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching or doctrine of Christ hath not God." Now that says the person who's doing in religion what is not authorized by the Bible does not have God in the doing of it. And that simply means that he's guilty of sin. So you see, you can be altogether involved in religion. Every day your life can be one that's characterized by religious attitude and religious activity. But if that attitude is not what the Bible teaches you should have, and if the things you do in religion are not the things that are authorized by the Bible, then you are not pleasing to God. You're involved in the transgression of the law of God. To do that which is not authorized is to be guilty of sin. For instance, in the Old Testament, when David moved the Ark of the Covenant, not in the way God said, by it being carried on the shoulders of the Levites by staves which are stuck through the rings in each corner of the Ark of the Covenant, but he did it by building a new cart and transporting it, then God actually struck a man dead when he reached forth to touch the ark when the oxen stumbled and it appeared the ark was about to fall. So we can see the very great importance of our doing only what is authorized in the Scriptures. But our time's gone for today. I just want you to know that I'm very glad you've been with us in our audience. I hope you'll be with us next time as we continue our study of the fact that Christian commitment involves necessity.